Here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Ches. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Ilana Schindler, and also the mother of Joey Schiff, Sarah Schiff, Sarah Bas, Avraham Moshe. Joey's a Gabbai at the 7:30 minyan that we daven Shachar said every morning, and his mother's Neshama, and all the Neshamas we learn for Shedev Aliyah from our learning. In addition, we continue to learn for the safety of all the Kochos HaBitachon, the Chayalim, the EMTs, everybody in Eretz Yisrael who's fighting on behalf for the safe return of all the hostages, B'mheira, in good health, and V'ezras Hashem, this war should end soon, it should end successfully, we should be Matzliach and wiping out the Rishoyim, and all those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one, all those in need of Nechama, Hashem Yenochei. Okay, we pick up on Lamed Ches Omer Aleph, on the second line where we quote the Mishnah. Shor shel Yisrael shenogach shor shel Kenani poter. If you have a Yid's cow that gores the ox of a Kenani, so then there's no payment required, poter. And we explain that this is based upon Reyehu. Like we learned with Hekdish yesterday, we'll have a similar discussion today when the shor is menageach Hekdish. So we had the opinion of Tan of our Mishnah that because of Reyehu, it's only with your friend, that Hekdish isn't your friend. So the Yid who gores Hekdish, or the Hekdish ox that gores the Yid ox, they don't have to pay. That was the Tana of our Mishnah. And likewise, he said, when a Yisrael is Nagach Shor Shel Kenani, there is an exemption from paying. Whereas when the Kenani ox scores the Yisrael's ox, whether it's Tam or whether it's Muad, you pay Nezik Shali. Shmuel says, I don't understand. Again, similar question to yesterday. Amri Mimonoshach. It should work out that either both pay or neither pays. What's this? The Yisrael doesn't pay, but the Kenani has to pay. So, Mimonoshach. I Reyehu, if the word Reyehu is Dafka, that's telling us the din is only Reyehu. Only if a Yid's ox scores another Yid's ox, is there a damage of Shor Tam and Shor Muad? So then, the Kenani, Kinagach, the Yisrael, Nami Lifter. So then, when the Kenani's ox gores the Yid's ox, it should be Potter, because Reyehu is Dafka. I can tell you it's not Dafka. The Reyehu Lab Dafka really is any goring. It just gave an example. What's common? A Yid to another Yid. So then, I feel the Yisrael, Kinagach, Kenani, Nechayev. So then, if the Yid goes and gores a Kenani's ox, he should be a Chayev. So again, Mimarashach, either both should pay or neither should pay. Other Ravo. So Ravo tells us we have a famous Pasuk, Omar Kra, the Pasuk that we have from Habakkuk. The Pasuk tells us, Omad Vayimoded Eretz, Ra Vayater Goyim. What does this Pasuk tell us? So the Gemara explains, Ra Sheva Mitzvah Shekiblu Alein B'nei Noach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the B'nei Noach had the seven mitzvahs, the Zayin mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Sheva mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Kivish Lo Kimu, however, when they didn't observe the Sheva mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Omad Vihitir Mamon L'Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, now your money is hefker to Klal Yisrael. Now, what does it mean your money is hefker to Klal Yisrael? It doesn't mean what it seems to say, that now you can do whatever you want, Chas V'Shalom. In Tosos of Dibra Masko, Omar V'Hitir explains that this din, that it was Mafkir, Hitir Mamonim Yisrael, is Mashba Dafka B'inyin Zeh Shenogach. Now the Gis we have Shenogach Shor Shalonu, Shor Shalhem, but the Marshal changes it around. If you have that goes in Siyunim, so in Os Ches, the Marshal switches it around and says Shor Lelohem, Nogach Shor Shalonu. So in that situation, when their ox gores our ox, so then in that situation, and only in that situation, is there an obligation for them to pay. But otherwise, there is no such thing as v'hitir mamon l'yisrael, that you can do whatever you want. Now, this din, therefore, is only specific for this one aspect, and that's only where v'hitir mamon l'yisrael. That's the opinion that we bring down for Rabbi Avol. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, mihocha. He gives a second reason. Again, it doesn't say Omar Rabbi Yochanan. He's not arguing that. He's just giving a second reason. And he says it's from this pasuk that we have in Devarim, where it says, Hofia mehar poron, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it appear in Har Paran. What does this mean? It appears from Har Paran. So Rashi tells us that Kishasivev Vehichzer HaTorah Akola Umos V'lo Kiblu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he gave the Torah to us on Har Sinai, so he offered it to all the Goyim, all the people of the world. And he went to them, and specifically Tosus points out that Har Paran is Yishmael. And he went to Yishmael, and he said to Yishmael, do you want the Torah? And the Mefarshim bring down, Yishmael was told, what's in the Torah? And Hashem said, you can't steal. Lo signov. They said, no, we like to steal. And we know in the Torah, in the Aseret Dibros, lo signov means don't kidnap. So it's interesting. I thought that the Yishmael specifically said, no, we like to kidnap. We're into kidnapping, and therefore we don't want to accept the Torah. In any event, All the nations were offered the Torah. Each one said, what's in it? Each one was told, no. One of the Zayin Mitzvahs, meaning Noah, that you're not allowed to do anymore. And they said, no, we're not interested in that. We like to keep on doing these things that are the Zayin Mitzvahs, meaning Noah, say you're not allowed to do. So therefore, Hashem made appearances to them on Har Paran, and the Paran, Hofia, Mamonim LeYisrael. And from Paran, their Mamon was Hofia. What does it mean, Hofia? It means it was revealed. As Tosus tells us in Libra Maskel Miparin, it says, Mitura de Gavlo is Gale Livnei Yishmol, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to the Bnei Yishmol on Paran, and they, that's the Lashon over here, it was revealed. So, Hofia Mehar Paran, Miparin Hofia Mamon Yisrael, and therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed their money to Klai Yisrael, this idea that their money was matir to us in regards to the din of Shor Shenogach. Okay, now, Bryce says the same thing, Tani Nami Hochi. If a Yid's ox gores the Kanani's ox, so then there is no payment. Potter. However, the other way around, but if the Kanani's ox gores the Yid's ox, so then whether it was a Tam or Muad, Bein Tam or Bein Muad, Mishalim Nezek Sholim. The Nochri, the Kanani, has to go and pay Nezek Sholim based upon this pasuk. The Brayza says, the pasuk that we first brought down from Habakkuk, Shnemar, Omad, Vayimodeid Eretz. Ra vayater goyin, and this pasuk means that their money was matir. Their money was given over to us again for this specific din of Shor Shenogach. Okay, but Omer. Furthermore, the Brayta says the second pasuk that Rav Yochanan brought down, Hofia mehar paran. So why do you need the second pasuk? Might be Omer. Brayta asks, why do we need the second pasuk? So you might have thought, hi, Oman vayimodeid eretz, that pasuk, you need it, miboyle lichad Rav Masna, or uchad Rav Yosef. You might have needed it for the drush, which we'll learn in a moment, the Rav Masna made, or the Rav Yosef made, and therefore, the Braisa tells us, no, even if you want to say those drushes, you need the second pasuk to teach us the din of Shor Shenogach, that the Nachri, the Kenani, who's in the Menageach, his ox gores the Yiddish ox, so then in that situation, there is a payment, whether it's a tam or a muad, it's a nezek sholim. Okay, Toshma, that's why you need Hofia Mehar Paran. The Braisa continues and tells us we need the second part, the second pasuk, Hofia Mehar Paran, to teach us Meparan, Hofia Mamon, Mamona Li Yisrael. That's where we know that this din, that the Nochri, the Kenani, has to pay full damages, regardless of whether he shars a Tam or a Muad, if he gores a Yisrael's ox. Now, what is this din that you said that we needed the first pasuk to teach us either the din of Rav Masna or the din of Rav Yosef? So, my din of Rav Masna, what's that din? Remember, Rav Masna tells us, Omad Vayimodeid Eretz, Ra v'chule, the rest of the pasuk from Habakkuk, Ra v'yater goyim, Ma Ra, so what, according to Rav Masna, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see? Ra sheva mitzvot shenitztavu le'bnei Noach v'lo kimo. Hashem saw that they weren't observing the Zayin Mitzvot b'nei Noach. Omad v'higla osam me'alad mosam. Not that he took away their money, like we learned it before, but Rav Masna says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them away from their lands. He was Higla osam me'alad mosam. They were sent away from the land. Kigon, Rashi says, kaptorim hayotze mi kaptor. Kigon, ubiseyir, yashru hachorim. Chenu mosarbe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dislocated them. How do we know the word vayater means to dislocate them? Umay mashma the high vayater lishno di gluyehu. How do we know it's a din of putting them into galus, making them go someplace else? So, ksiv hach, it says over here in the pasuk in Habakkuk, vayater goyim. And Ksiv Hasan, it says in the pasuk in Shmini, "Lenater b'hein ala aretz." In dealing with the various types of shrotzim, sheretz ha'ov halech al arba. So it says, "Asher lo chira'ayim imal raglav lenater b'hein ala aretz." So that's a lashon of jumping around. The Targum says, "Umetagim lekavtsa b'hein al aretz," jumping around. In other words, going from one place to another place. So therefore, we see this lashon is a reference. Lenater vayater is a reference to sending him into galus. So therefore, Rav Masna needs the first pasuk in Habakkuk to say that they were sent into galus. So therefore, you need the second pasuk from Hofia Mehar Parav to teach us this din that the guy has to pay, regardless of whether his ox is a tam or a mu'ud, has to pay nezek shalom if it gores a Jew's ox. Okay. Then what was my Rav Yosef? What was Rav Yosef's usage of that first pasuk? So the Rav Yosef, Yosef said, the pasuk from Habakkuk, Oman vayimodeid eretz, ra, b'chule, which was, again, vayater goyim, so ma ra, what did Kosh Baruch Hu see? Ra, sheva mitzvah shekiblu aleim b'nei Noach, v'lo kimum, that they had accepted the Zayin mitzvah b'nei Noach, but then they didn't fulfill them. So therefore, Kosh Baruch Hu went, Oman v'yitir lehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, you don't have to follow them anymore. I'm exempting you from doing them. Moses says, what? Is Guri Iskar? So they're going to benefit? You're telling me that they didn't observe them, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away their requirement to do that, that's self-defeating. Therefore, the sinner benefited. That doesn't make any sense. They weren't doing the mitzvah that they had to do. So Koshbo took it away. They're gaining. They're not doing the mitzvah anyway. So therefore, now gaining, they're not mechuyev to do the mitzvah. So I'm a Ma'abirei de Ravona. So Ma'abirei de Ravona says, no, Bo'o Ma'ai to teach us that now, that Kodesh Baruch Hu took away the schar for this mitzvah, Shafilu Mekayimin Osan, Ein Mekabel Maleim Schar. That even if they do the mitzvah, they're not getting schar for it. Or it says, really? Is that so? Hello? You don't get schar for doing the mitzvah? After all, but Tanya Rav Meir said, now, Rav Meir, some of the gears over here that should be Rav Yirmiyah. In any event, whether it was Remeir or Rav Yirmiyah, Omer minayin shafilu nochriv osek b'torah shuk kekoin gadol. How do we know that even if a guy goes and learns Torah, he's considered like a kohen gadol? Now, some of them unfortunately explain this like a kohen gadol is a lashon of guzma. Others explain, like Tosfos does over here, that it means that we have mipninim, that the kohen gadol, somebody goes lifnai v'lifnim, and therefore Tosfos says yikori him mipninim mikohen gadol hanichnas lifnai v'lifnim. Learning Torah is even more important than a kohen gadol goes lifnai v'lifnim. That's why it specifically uses a kohen gadol. In any event, they're telling us that if a guy is osek b'torah, so he will get reward. Now, they're not mitzuva in this situation that they get reward. So, Talmud Omar, Asher Yaseh Osam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem. It says that those that do this, who are called Adam, will live and be rewarded. Now, it doesn't say the Kohanim, the Levi, and the Israelim will be rewarded. Lo Ne'amar. Elo Adam. It specifically says Adam. And therefore, Holamata Shafilu Nachum Dosik B'Torah Hareyu Kekohen Gadol. So, therefore, we see that even the Goyim, who aren't Kohanim, Levi, and Israel, they're called Adam. This goes, Tosa says, in accord with the opinion that says that Goyim are called Adam. We have the opinion of Rav Meir that says, no, only a Yid is called Adam. But they have the opinion of Rav Shimon that says that a Goy is also called Adam. In any event, this is what we're referring to over here. According to Rav Yosef, the first pasuk is telling us that even though they lost the chiyuv to do the mitzvah, they'll still get reward for it. So the Gemara answers, Amri, ein mekabel leim schar kmitz mitzuva v'yoseh, ela kmish, ein mitzuva v'yoseh. They're not gaining over here by having this mitzvah taken away from them, because now, if they do it, they won't get the same amount of schar, because we know that a person who has a mitzvah to do something also has a yetzahara to not do it, and therefore he gets more schar for doing it than somebody who is not commanded. One might have thought the exact opposite. One might have said, oh, listen, I'm not commanded to do it, and I do it. I'm a nicer guy than the guy that's commanded to do it. But no, the guy that's not commanded to do it has no yetzahara. And therefore, the one who's commanded to do it, and yet, and does it, and is able to overcome his Yetzirah, so he gets more schar. So Mitzuvah Yosef gets more schar than the Ein Mitzuvah Yosef. You know the famous story of Yosef, who was blind, who originally said, I'm going to make a suda for those that say that the loch is that a blind person is not mitzvah to do the mitzvahs. Ah, and then I'll do the mitzvahs, and it's greater if you're not mitzvah to do the mitzvahs. But then he heard this din, that no, mitzvah also is greater. So he said, I'll make a suda for anybody who says that a blind person is mitzvah to do the mitzvahs, which is in fact the halacha, and therefore he's doing it as a mitzvah of the osa, which is a greater thing. In any event, so they're not really going to gain from having the mitzvah taken away from them, they're in fact losing. And we see the Amr of Chanina, Gola Mitzuvah Yoseh, Yoseh Mimish and Mitzuvah Yoseh. Because the bottom line is, the halach is that somebody who's commanded to do a mitzvah is in a greater position, gets more reward than somebody who's not commanded to do a mitzvah, even though he does the mitzvah. Okay. Now, there is a question over here as to how the guy is allowed to learn Torah. Now, I wanted to point out on my own that it says Va'osek B'Torah. So when we make the bracha of Lasok B'Divrei Torah, it means that we're not only learning Torah, it's when we act on the commandments that we learn and we do them, so that a guy is also supposed to do. So maybe that's what it means. But in a moment, we're going to have an interesting story right now that also talks about goyim learning Torah, and Tosfos asks, but you're not allowed to teach a guy Torah, so we'll answer that question more in a moment. So let's go with the Gemara Vayter, Tana Rabban. We have the following famous story. Ukvar Sholcha Malchus Romi, that's the Gersa that we have. Other Gersas have Malchus Harisha, which is always the censors, they take out these, whenever it says Malchus Romi, when we have the word Malchus Romi HaRisha, or we just write Malchus HaRisha, and they know it's talking about Rome, so they substitute the word Rome. So the censored Gemaras have the word Romi over here, others have the Gemara, and it says Malchus HaRisha, which means the Romans. And the Romans sent Shnei Sardiutos, that's two offices, high offices, Eitzel Chacham Yisrael, to the Jewish people, to go and learn Torah from them. Amru, that's the Hagos and Siyunim, adds over here that these two sardiotos said to the Jewish leadership, Lamdunu Torah Schem, teach us the Torah, right? They must have heard that there's things in the Torah that go against what the Romans hold, and therefore they wanted us to teach them the Torah. Nu, Karu, Vishanu Vishalshu. So they taught him. The simple understanding over here is that they taught it to him three times. Now Tosa says, how are they allowed to do this? This is what I pointed out a minute ago. Tosa says, Diva Masakor Vishanu Vishalshu, Vim Tomar Bar Mina Mechagig, the Moran Chagig, it tells us. Now the gear that we have over here in Tosa is Amalami Torah Lovdi Kochavim over Biasei, but again, the Hagos Vitsiyunim brings down over here that that's not the gear in the Gemara and Chagiga. The Gemara and Chagiga just says, Ain Mostrin Different Torah Linochim. You're not allowed to teach Nochim Torah. In any event, whether the years is like we have it or like that goes at Siyunim, bottom line is how are they allowed to go and teach him Torah? Because the pasuk says the Magid Devorav LeYaakov, not to the Goyim. So Torah is not allowed to be taught to the Goyim. So Tosfos answers very simply: the Yesh Lomar the Baal Karcha Asu Api Divrei HaMoshel or Divrei HaMlucha V'lo Nischayev Limsor Atzmon. So this was Yehari Ba Yavar? No, it's not a Yehari Ba Yavar. It's not one of the three cardinal sins. And therefore, the government, the Roman government said, you either teach him Torah, you're going to kill you. So therefore, we're allowed to teach him Torah in that situation. That's a simple teretz. Alternatively, Thomas says, Yinami, Otsum Atsum Gerim. They became Gerim in order to be able to learn the Torah, and you're allowed to teach a Ger the Torah. In any event, they taught these two sardotos all the Torah. Karo Vishon Vishilshu. And they were very happy to learn the Torah, and Bishas Pitras, and when they finished learning all the Torah that they learned, doesn't say exactly what they learned, some suggest that Karu is teaching them Chumash, Shanu is then Mishnah, and Shalshu is Gemara. Others say, no, they just learned the basic Chumash, I guess, three times. In any event, Amalahem, so these two Sarjocho said to them back, Dikdaknu B'chol Torah 7, we went through all the Torah, V'yamishu, and absolutely nothing wrong with it. And therefore, Chutz, the only thing that we found objectionable, Chutz B'dav is that, this din that we're learning right now, that the Shor of Enochri, that is Menageach, Ox of a Yid, you have to pay, whether it's Tam or Muad, you have to pay Nezek Sholem. But the other way around, the Yid's Ox gores the Enochri's Ox, you don't pay anything. So we don't understand that then. Again, the same question that the Gemara had, Mimarashach. These two Sardiotos said, E Reyehu Davka. So then if the word Reyehu was really supposed to be Davka, then both should be exempt. Afilu de Kanani Kinochli Sroli Potter. So we should also be Potter if we're Minageach you, just like you're Potter if you're Minageach us. No, Reyehu Lab Davka. And the word Reyehu was just a common expression for the most likely series. A Yidzak is going to go another Yidzak. And therefore, it doesn't mean Bidavka only Reyehu. So then, Afilu de Yisrael, Kinochli de Kanani Lechay. Then if your ox goes us, we should also be eligible to get payment. So we don't understand that. However, but since we're so impressed with everything else you taught us, and my guess is that they said, we know that there's a good reason for this, it's just you can't explain it to us. And Rashi says, they didn't want to explain this to them. In Dira Masko, Chutz B'Dover is there. The Heim Lo Gilu Lehem Tam Lo Shul Dover. The rabbis didn't want to explain this drush over here because the way we explained it was that they lost this right. And Shei Mamono Shul Kanani B'Cheskes Hefker. This Hatorah that we said, V'hitir Mamono L'Yisrael, so Mipnei HaSakara. They were afraid to tell him this because then they would go back to tell the Romans that our money is Hefker to them, and who knows what pogrom that would cause. So therefore, they were not going to go and tell this to back to the Malchus. This then, they didn't know the reason behind it. They said, we won't tell on you guys because the Torah is so wonderful. Okay. Next story. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shchivalei Barata. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Nebuch lost his daughter. Now this story is going to be a very, very difficult story for us to fully understand. And the actual connection to the previous story is also not clear. But anyway, we'll just read the story. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Rechmon al-Islan, lost his daughter, Lo Aleinu. Amrulei Rabbanon. So the rabbis went and told Le'ula, come, go, Nezal, let us all go together, Ninchamei, and go and give words of Nechama, to do Nechama Velim visit, Shiva visit, to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda upon the terrible, tragic loss of his daughter. Amar Lehu, Ula told the other Chachamim, no, my isli gabe nechemta de Babloi. I have no intention of going with you Babylonians to go and visit this Shiva house of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, because the Gidufahu, when you guys go, you do blasphemy when you pay a Shiva call. As Rashi says, Klapi Bala, your statements go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you pay a Shiva call. Because what do you say? The Amre, you say, my Efshor Lemevat. You'll tell the poor suffering Avelim, no, what could you have done? Implication being, Ha Efshor Lemevat, Avdei. If, in fact, there was something you could have done, you would have done it and gone against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed, which is that this person never should pass away. And therefore, I'm not going with you Babylonians because you say kfira, you say blasphemy. And in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down that you're not allowed to go tell at the base of his house, oh, what could you do? Nebuch, there was nothing you could have done. So that implies that if there was something you could have done, you would have reversed this person's death. But that's not the case. Nobody dies. Coach Bokos never sleep at the wheel. It's not like, oh, if only I'd done this, then that person wouldn't have died. No, the person would die no matter what. And that's called Tzidik Adin. And we have to go and say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is always correct. Then we are Metzadik Adin. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are righteous. We don't understand the way you work. And that's what you have to say. And that's why Ula said, I'm not going with the Babylonians. And therefore, Azul Hu Luchudai, he went by himself, Gabe, to go and visit Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda to go and give him Nichum Avelim. Okay, now, Amar Lei, Ula told Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, and this is very hard for us to fully understand. What he's going to say over here is a very harsh-sounding type of a shiva visit. It's not the type of shiva visit we would ever recommend that anybody actually say and do. But again, Ula must have understood that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda would accept this. He was on such a high madrega. And he tells him as follows. He quotes him the pasuk. Ula says to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Vayom Hashem. Now the girsa we have is El Moshe. But in the Hagosu Tziyunim, again, it brings down the correct girsa. Well, the pasuk is Vayomer Hashem Eli, not El Moshe. Of course, it is talking to Moshe, but it's Vayomer Hashem Eli because Moshe is talking. He said, Hashem said to me, Al Totsar Es Moav. Don't go and start up with Moav. V'al Tiskar Bom. And don't do any to them in regards to Muhammad. Al Tiskar Bom Muhammad. Ki lo etin l'cho me'artzo is the rest of the pasuk. Now, Now, why would Moshe Rabbeinu have thought that he should go and do a mucham with them that Hashem has to tell him, don't start up with them? So, Tosus explains, this conversation actually didn't take place because the order of the psukim is incorrect. But this is basically the understanding why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't start up with Moab. Because Moshe Rabbeinu on his own might have taken the following Kal v'chomer. Elonos Moshe Kal v'chomer v'yatzo. On his own, Moshe Rabbeinu might have started up with Moab because of the following Kal v'chomer. Omar, he would have said, Uma Midjanim, the people from Midjan, who were supposed to start up with, Shalom Bol Elo Laz or Moab. They only were assistants to Moab. They only came to help Moab attack us. And nevertheless, the Torah said about Midjan, Amr Torah, Tzroris HaMidjanim, Yikismosam. Go start up with the Midjanim and go and give them a hard time. So if we're supposed to do that for the assistants, not the primary, but the assistants to Moab, we're supposed to go and give them the assistants, Midjan, Tzoras HaMidjanim, Yikisim HaSam, so certainly, the Moabim Atzman, we turn to Lamechesim and Beis, certainly, Lo Kol Shekein. So Moshe Rabbeinu would have taken this Kal v'chomer say on his own, and therefore would have started up with Moab. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu preempted this and said, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Kish'olso Adaitcha, Olso Adaiti. Not like your thinking is my thinking. In other words, I don't want you to start up with Moab because of the following reason. Shtei predos. Rashi explains predos are gozlos, like pigeons. Tovos yeshli lahotzi mehen. That there are two righteous women that I want to bring out. One from Moab, one from Ammon. And these are Rus hamoaviyah, the Nama hamonis. So these two righteous women, Rus from Moab and Nama from Ammon, so I don't want you to start up with those nations in order that you not eradicate them or cause them trouble, that I won't have these two pearls, these two wonderful pigeons, these beautiful birds, Rus and Nama. Rus, of course, is the progenitor of Mashiach ben David, and Nama was one of the wives of Shlomo HaMelech, and she was the mother of Rehoboam, who was the king after Shlomo HaMelech. So, based upon this, Ula now tells the bereaved father of Shmuel Bar Yehuda the following Kal v'chomer. Because of these two women, Rus HaMoaviyah and Nam Amonis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't start up with Moab, don't start up with Ammon. So these two nations, Chos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beizumos Gedolos, the Lohech Rivan, and he didn't destroy them. They were terrible, terrible people here. And yet, because of these two descendants of Moab and Ammon, Hashem said, no, I'm not going to destroy them. So Bitel Shel Rebbe. So Ula says to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, the daughter of Rebbe, your daughter, doesn't mean Rebbe reviewed the Nasi, it means your daughter, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, he calls him Rebbe. Im Ksheire, if she had been a Ksheira, Uru'uya, he lotzes mimena, Dover Tov, and anybody was supposed to come out from her. In other words, whatever her tafkid on this world was, she completed her tafkid on this world. There was nobody else that was supposed to come out from her that would have merited her to stay alive. And therefore, Allah has come v'kama, Certainly, because you're such a great person, if your daughter had actually merited to have somebody great come from her, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu never would have taken her. Now, this is a harsh type of a nechama to give at a shiva house, and certainly one shouldn't use this type of a language. But I believe what Ulu was telling Rosh Shmuel by Yehuda was, your daughter had basically completed her tafkid on this world. There was nothing else for her to do. And therefore, she wasn't due to have children after her that would do certain things. She had completed her tafkid on this world, and therefore she now was ready for death. And while that's not something that most of us would find comfort from, this was something maybe on Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's level, he would understand this and said, oh, Baruch Hashem, my daughter died complete. She died shleima, and therefore that was comfort to him. In any event, that is what Ula told him. Mark continues and says, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Chiya Bar Abba said to Rav Yochanan, En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekafeach Schar Kol Birya, Afilu Schar Sicha Noa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always pays everybody back exactly the way they're supposed to. And even if you're dealing over here with just simple conversation, Sicha Noa, even if it's just that, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you back. Where do we see this from? From the children of Lot. We know, of course, the famous story of Lot, that he's taken away from Sodom. Sodom is destroyed. He thinks the whole world is destroyed. His daughters think the whole world is destroyed. And his two daughters have relations with him so they can repopulate the world. Now, it says in regards to the older daughter, the Ilu Bechira, the Kamra Moab. She named her son from Lot, from her own father, the incestuous relationship, she called him Moab, Me'av. In other words, she publicized the fact that it was from her father. And Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Therefore, she did a good thing. She was doing this L'shem Shemayim. I'll tell you in a moment a famous story from Moshe Feinstein's Datzal in the opening and the foreword to the eighth volume of the Igros Moshe. A phenomenal story about the Benos Slope, which I'll tell you in a second. Let's first finish the Gemara over here. So it says that this Bechira, who was doing what she thought was a mitzvah of repopulating the world, she did it L'shem Shemayim. The Medrash Rabba brings down that they found wine, bedafki, in the cave. What in the world would be wine doing in the cave? So again, there was L'shem Shemayim. They're doing everything what they thought was right. Not that the Chas V'Shalom had a prurient interest or were doing incest over here. Rachman Litzlan, they were great Nashim Sidkanios, these women, as we'll see in a second. So the Gemara says this Bechira, the older one, she did something a little bit wrong by calling the child Moab. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Atotzar es Moab, Yachtizkor ba Milchamah. No, Milchamah hu delo ha Angaria ovidbu. No, you can't go into battle with them, but you can make an Angaria. Rashi says Angaria means Lishtabi behen, Lahavile Mayinu Mazo, that you can go and enslave them. You can go and indebt them to you, that they should have to go bring you water and food. So you can start up a little bit with Moab, don't start up a real Muhammad with them. But that's in the schus of the oldest daughter, but she called her son Moab, and that was a little bit of a less than ideal name. And therefore, Moab, you'll have to start up with a little bit. The Tzira, who called her child, the Kamra, Ben Ami, she called the child Ben Ami, no indication that it was from Lot. So Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Moshe said about this nation, the Pasuk tells us, the Karavta, Mul b'nei Amon, b'nei Amin is Amon, so al tetzurei v'al tizkobam at all. So therefore, you can't start up with them at all. Klal. Al tizkobam klal. Dafilu angaria lo tavibu. And you can't go and even make them serve you and bring you food and water. Now, let me tell you this unbelievable story from the beginning of the Igros Moshe and the foreword of the eighth volume. So Moshe says that this happened to him when he was back in Europe. In his hometown, when he was a young grav, so there was an elderly Talmud Chacham in that town who suddenly got some horrible difficulty breathing disease, and he wasn't really able to talk. And this was a huge Talmud Chacham, and nobody knew why this happened. It was a very sudden onset, and this Talmud Chacham called Rav Moshe in. Rav Moshe was the Rav in Luban, that was a little town, and he called Rav Moshe in to speak with him, and he shooed everybody out, and he told Rav Moshe, you want to know why this happened to me? Let me tell you. So I gave a shiur, and I was talking about the Benos Lot, and I disparaged them. I disparaged the Benos Lot. Talked about the incestuous relationship that he had, and that the older daughter called her child Moab, how disgusting that was. And I had a dream that night, that the two Noshim Tzidkanios appeared to me, who were the daughters of Lot. They were unbelievably holy-looking women. And they said to me, you're making fun of us? So the older one said, do you know why I called my son Moab? because people are going to say that this was an immaculate conception, because they'll never have a habamina to think that I had relations with my father. And they'll think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu inserted Zera inside of me, an immaculate conception. I knew that there would be a story about an immaculate conception someday that would lead terrible problems for the Jewish people. And therefore, I publicized the fact that this was an incestuous relationship with my father, L'shem Shamayim. And that's what this elderly Talmud Chacham told Reb Moshe. And he said, that's why I'm now being punished. I'm losing my ability to speak over here. I'm having this difficulty breathing and talking. And it's because I spoke Lashon Hara about the great Noshim Sidkonios, the daughters of Lot. And Reb Moshe says in the foreword to the 8th volume of Igros Moshe that this man died, and that was the reason why he said that he died. Unbelievable story. Okay, we go back to the Gemara. A person should always rush to do a dvar mitzvah, because from the one night that the older daughter of Lot had relations with the father, the first night, and then only the second night that the younger daughter had the relations, she was zochet to have the progenitor of Mashiach come four generations before her sister saw the progenitor come from her. That you had Oved, Yishai, Vidavid, Ushlomo. You had four generations coming from Rus HaMoaviyah that she saw that she was to have. First she had the child Oved, then Yishai, then David, and then Shlomo. So four generations. The Ilu Tzi'ira, the younger daughter, had to wait one more generation, Ad Rechavim. So there were four generations earlier that the Bas Moav, the child from Moav, came about faster than the child from Ammon. Tichsiv, V'shem Imo, Naamah Hamon. It's only by Shlomo Melech that he married Naamah and eventually had a child, Rechavim. Okay, fascinating, fascinating stories. Now we'll go right to the Gemara. Torah Rabbanan. Shor Se Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shel Kusi. Now, until now, we talk about a Shor of Yisrael that was Nogach a Yisrael. Then we had the case of Hektish. Then we had the case of a Nochri a Knani. And now we have the case, what happens if a Shor Shel Yisrael goes and gores a Shor Shel Kusi? Now, the Gemara tells us the price, it says, Potter. The Yid doesn't have to pay. But the other way around, Shel Kusi, Shenogach Shor Shel Yisrael. So it depends. If it's a Tam, Mishalim Chatzin Nezek. If it's a Muad, Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So according to the Tanakam and his Braisa, so the rule is that Yisrael doesn't have to pay if his ox damages a Kusi's ox, but the other way around, the regular dinim of damages apply, and if the Kusi owns an ox that's a Tam, it pays Chatzin Nezek. If it owns a Muad, it pays Nezek Shalim. That's Tanakam's opinion. That he agrees with the Tanakama. However, the other way around, here he says you have to pay Nezek Sholem in this situation, exactly like the situation with a Nochri. So Rav Meir basically compares the Kusi to a Nochri, whereas the Tanakama does not. Now, therefore, the Gemara says, the Sav Rav Meir, Kusim Geri Arayos Hain, with an Aleph. So, according to Rav Meir, he's of the opinion that the Kusim only converted because of the lions. This is the famous story. These Kusim came from a country called Kuta. Sancheiru, when he would conquer an area, he would go and relocate the people in order to make them less rebelling. That was his modus operandi. And he relocated the people from Kuta to live now in Eretz Yisrael. He uprooted the people from Eretz Yisrael. Never. He came along and Sancheiriv conquered the northern kingdom and he displaced the 10 tribes. And instead he brought into them the people who lived in Kuta. So these people came and they were Goyim. And they lived in Eretz Yisrael and their lions attacked them. As Rashi brings down Gera Raiyasein, he brings down the story from Sefer Melachim in Melachim Beis Perek Yitzayin. Mefurish, it says over there, Vayishlach Hashem Bohem Es Ha'arayos V'kusim Ksivei Hosam. So what happened here was that these people said, the God of this land, he obviously wants us to worship him as well. That's why he sent us lions. So therefore they converted because of these lions. And there's a famous machlokis. Were they in fact Gerei Emes, or were they in fact just Gerim from these lions? As Tosus brings down in Dira Maskel Gerei Raisein, Yafel Gav Depaskinim, Besov Perakam Yivamos, even though we learn in the Gemara in Yivamos, that loch is the Geri MS Kulan Hani Mili Hecho Shemizgairim Legamri. That's only if they really had a true Geris. Avol Geri Arayis, people that were only Mizgair because of lions like this, Lone is Gairi Legamri. They never really had a complete conversion. And therefore, Rav Meir felt that they were not true Gerim, and therefore they weren't Yidden, and therefore they had the same din as a Nachri, and therefore they have to pay, according to Rav Meir, Nezik Shalim. So that implies that Rav Meir Savar, Kusim Gerim Raisheim, and they have the status of Goyim. But that's not true, because Ruminu, we learned in another Braisa, this is from Yevamos as well, Kol HaKsomim HaBoyim Rekem Tahorim. If you have Ksomim, stains on garments that come from Rekem, Rekem is a area that is, Rashi says, Ir Shiruba Nochrim, and therefore the Dam Nochrim Tahar, Midaraisa, on the Daraisa level it's Tahar, and therefore any stains that you see from Rekem, which is majority Goyim, you can assume that they're Taharim. Now, Yehudim Metame, why? Mipnei Shein Gerim. He says, no, these people were Gerim, they were converts, Vitoim, but they didn't unfortunately know the halacha so well, and therefore they made mistakes in the halacha, and therefore you have to assume that they were in fact Tame, they didn't know the halachas. Fine. He continues and he says, if you find stains, kolaksamim, mibein ha-nachrim, torim, because, again, the nachrim, their ksamim, their nida, is not a din daraisa. Now, mibein yisrael, mibein akusim, if you find ksamim, stains, in between Jewish people or between kusim, so Rav Meir mitame. It says Rav Meir is mitame. In other words, he considers the kusim to be like Yisraelim. And the Chachamim are mitarim, because Shalom Nechshadu al Kismeim, we delete the word Yisrael. If you look at that, goes in Tziyurim, he says that Umachak Zeh. And in fact, Rashi has a whole different girsa from the Gemara Nida. So let's look now inside in Rashi, Nira Maslo, Ribain Yisrael. He brings down the more correct girsa from the Gemara Nida in the following way. Go a couple of lines into the Rashi. So he says, the Tartzina law, the way you probably should read this Gemara is as follows. Mibein Yisrael, Mibein HaKusim Tmeim. If you find Ksamim that are between the Yisrael and Kusim, they are Tmeim. What does that mean? Vanimtsoim Ba'ari Yisrael B'makom Hefker Tahorim. If you find it in a public area, a place of Hefker, so then they are Tahorim. Why is that? Shlo Nechshadu Al Kismeim L'Havkirim, because they wouldn't throw away their garments with Ksamim on them and be Mavkir them. Elamatzinosim, they would put them in a Tzenua Dika place, in order Shlo Yitamu Behen Taharos. They shouldn't cause Taharos to become Tomei. However, v'hanimtsoin bein akusim, here's the point. If you find these ksamim amongst the kusim, so then Rav Meir is mitame. Why is that? Shenech shedu al kismeh, because they were suspected that they would just go and discard their ksamim and therefore potentially be mitame to horos. So therefore, if you found them in the area of the kusim, you have to be choshe that they were really ksamim. Now, the chachamim mitarim, the chachamim were not concerned about this, shalom nechshadu al kismeim l'havkirim, because the chachamim said, no, they aren't suspect that they would go and be mafkir their ksamim. Ela matznim, some also achi chapsim, they would keep them hidden away until they would wash them and there would be no problems with tumah. Alma, what do you see from here? Midama Rav Meir, dam kusim mitame, amma Geri Emeshem. So from the fact that Rav Meir is Matame them, so then we are dealing here with the fact that the Kusim are considered true Gerim. Alma, that's what the Gemara now says, Ksav Rav Meir, Kusim Geri Emeshem. So they're in fact Geri Emes. So how can you tell me that they're Geri Arayas? So I'm a Rav Yavo. Rav Yavo says, no. Kinasu Shekonas Rav Meir bin Mamonim. That yes, they are Geri Emes, and therefore they should in fact, when you gore their ox, you should have to go pay them. And when they go and gore you, they should have Chatzi Nezik and Nezik Sholem. However, this was a kenas placed upon them, by Rav Meir, Shelo Yitmu Bohen, that we shouldn't mix with them. They shouldn't become a demua, mixed in with us, in order to separate us from the Kusim. Now, this answer of Rav Yavo is not felt to be correct by Rav Zera. Masa Rav Zera. Rav Zera asks on this answer of Rav Yavo, if that is so, then it says in the Mishnah in Ksubos the following. The following women, Rechmon Litzlan, if they're ones or mefate, so there is the knas of Anusa and Mefuta applied to them. For example, Rechmon Litzlan, if somebody has relations with Mamzeres, or Vala Nesina, or with one of the women from the Nesinim, those are the Givonim, then in the days of Yoshua fooled Klai Yisrael to thinking that they were from far away, and they allowed them to have a peace treaty, and then later on again in Dabu, we've spoken about the Nesina many times, they were excluded from marrying into Klai Yisrael. If you have relations with one of these women, there is a din of Knas, the Alakusis. And likewise, if you have a Rachman Lutan, Onus Mufata with a Kusis, so then there is the Knas that you have to pay. Now, that is what the Mishnah in Ksubas clearly tells us. Now, here's a question. If you, in fact, say, Rabbi Avo, that Rabbi Meir came along and konas Rabbi Meir b'mamonim, that Rabbi Meir made a knas on these true geri emes kusim, and therefore, that's why the dinim by the shore of Yisrael that is nagach in the shore of a kusi, and vice versa, the dinim are different than for a regular Yisrael because of this knas, so then Rabbi Meir should have made the same knas here. Hochanami niknos, it should have been a knas that if Rechmon Hussan, a person's ma'anis, mafato, kusis, so then the din is that he has to pay the fine, the 50 shkolin, let's say, so then Rav Meir should have made a knas, kadesh lo yitmu bahen, in order to separate us from them, so he should have instituted a knas over here too, that not to pay the knas of onus mafato. From the fact that the Mishnah did not do this, it did make the onus mafato have to pay the knas, therefore, clearly Rav Meir didn't make this also into a knas situation for the kusim that they shouldn't collect the knas. So therefore, Rabbi Avo is wrong. So Amar Abaye says, no, Rabbi Avo is not wrong. Why didn't Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim, go and make a knas and say that the onus mafata should not have to pay the expected knas to the kusi when he, Rachman al-Islam, assaults her? So in that situation, the rabbis didn't make a knas to take away the knas. Kidei, and we turn to Lamites and Aleph, Kidei shelo yehi chote niska, because then Rachman al-Islam, the one who was the onus of the mafata, would gain. Here, he did this terrible thing of being ma'anes or mafata, this kusi lady, so he has to pay the 50 shkolim, and now we come along and say, nah, you don't have to pay it. No problem. You don't have to pay for onus. You don't have to pay the 50 shkolim. So therefore, lo yechote niskar, he would gain. If we took away the knas in order to separate the kusim from the Yisraelim, so then who would be gaining? It's this horrible onus, this ma'anes. So therefore, in order that he should not gain, that's why Rav Meir didn't institute the knas. But elsewhere, Rav Meir did institute the knas, and therefore the kusim really are gerei emes, and therefore that is the psak of Rav Meir. But the Gemara says, okay, if you don't want this chote to be niskar, you don't want this onus over here to gain the 50 shkolim, we have a simple teretz, b'neisvei laniyim. Make the knas so the kusi doesn't get it, so we'll separate the yidden from the kusim. However, don't let the chote be niskar, make this person who's ma'aneser to pay the 50 shkolim to anani, give it to the poor box. So therefore, he's not niskar, and the kusim are going to separate from us. So when it says, Amar Rav Mari, Rav Mari says, no. Mishum davei mamon she'en lo tovim. No. In that situation, who would go to collect this money? As the top Rashi says, "I amris lehevi daniim." If you're telling me, okay, this ma'anis has to go and give it to the aniim, so man osi tovale ledina. Who's going to take him to the beis din if he doesn't pay the money? I tovale ani. If a specific ani were to go take him to the beis and say, "Hey, he owes $50 to the aniim," so amale loni acher yevnale. Okay, I owe it to the aniim, but I don't owe it to you. So therefore, nobody's going to be able to go take this guy to din. And therefore, it just would be problematic if the rabbis said, okay, let him pay the 50 shkolim to the aniim, so therefore, chotei na niskar, but nobody's going to be able to really collect it. And therefore, the bottom line is that they didn't make the knas in this situation, even though elsewhere, they made a knas to separate the yidin from the kusim. So here, they could have done the same thing, but it was a technical problem that the chotei would be niskar, and that's why they couldn't do it over here. Now, there is an obvious question, which we'll conclude today's share with, why don't we just say that the Beis Din will go and collect the money on behalf of the poor person? And won't the Beis Din therefore be somebody that's Toveya? So, the two terutz that are given to this. Number one is that there will be nobody that will really be interested in, because the Beis Din, they're very busy with many things. So yes, they're going to have to go and get witnesses over here and do this and take care of everything, but with no real protagonist over here to force them, hey, listen, they owe me money, hey, they owe me money, because each ani can't really go do that, so basically will be less than perfect in pursuing this, and that's what the Gemara means, that there will be nobody really to go and be Toveya. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two is from the Maritz Chiyas. The Maritz Chiyas says that the Bezim will not be as czar as they should be because there are no Baalim to be bringing them to Beis Din if they make a mistake. Let's say Beis Din does judicial malpractice over here. So if there's a Toveya, so that Toveya will say, hey, Beis Din, you messed up. I'm taking you to Beis Din. Here, there is no person that will really be Toveya the Beis Din, so the Beis Din won't act as good as they normally would, because there is no concern over here that somebody's going to hold them accountable. In any event, that's why we don't have the Beis Din be Toveya, and that's why we can't make the knas in this situation. And with this, we conclude today's shir. Let there be shalom al Klal Yisrael.